get a hug.
Thank you, Jamie. Man, I love this church. I mean, if you love this church like I love the church, at least you can do is put your hands together for... This is an awesome church. This church has always had open arms, or I wouldn't be here today. And we love to welcome people who love God or are searching for God or any other people. And these two ladies that were just up here, Michelle and Jamie, are just awesome examples of what God has done through this church. The foundation in this church is strong. And I don't just mean that foundation. I mean the foundation that's been laid for over 50 years. My good friend Pastor Tom back here laid a foundation for over 20 years in a discipleship training program, and we are reaping the benefits of that. We're reaping the benefits of what our forefathers laid. And I promised myself I was going to keep this short, so it will be. But they give us the freedom to be launched. Pastor said this morning that things get bent, but we're not broken. I thought, well, the bow gets bent. But that bending is for intentional purpose of launching that arrow. And I feel like I've been launched into this purpose that God has repurposed in my life. He says, if you will follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. And there's nothing more fun than I've had in the last year getting to know these men. We're connected with a church out of Redmond called Reach Church. You're going to meet some of those guys this morning. And when we started this weekend, I knew 21 of these guys. And now there's another 24 that I can truly call my brother. And I love them, just like I love you, Pastor Tom. And they speak into my life, and I've been able to watch what God's doing in their life this weekend. And now I get to see one of my good brothers. We call him Chief Director Dude, Caleb Farnworth, to come up here and take over. I get a hug personally.
Dan kind of stole my thunder because I feel like I have a love for you guys in this church, and I don't even know you. And I just want to say thanks for letting us kind of take over your service a little bit. And Justin, I would follow you. What? Yeah, I would. If my family lived here, we'd go here, and I would follow you. So, one of the things that drew me to the word ministry was this concept of story. And for me, growing up in the church, sometimes the gospel would get a little bored. I hate to say that, but like it would lose its punch, and it never should. And there's something about when you hear it through the story, someone's story, it brings new life and new potency through their unique perspective and what's happened in their life. And so, you know, when I was praying about what to speak, I had all this stuff written down, and then God pretty much said, throw it out and tell them this. Tell them they're loved, that they're wanted, that I have a plan for them. And their plan is to find your place in his story and tell them how to do that. And so one way to think about God's story is there's four acts. You have act one, which is innocence. And, you know, God said when he was making everything, it was good. And it was good, and it was good, and it was very good. And when Adam and Eve, they were there together, and they were naked, and there was no shame. And in each of our lives, there's a time, even if it's for 3 seconds coming out, or there's for 5 years or 20 years, there's an element of innocence that we have. And then there's act two is brokenness. And that was, you know, Adam doubted God's goodness and disobeyed him. And that's when we get the fear, the guilt, the shame, and the lie enters in. One of the things we talked about this weekend is we were reading Psalm 139, and it was just one of the things God kind of brought up was this idea of enemy. And in Psalm 139, it says that I will hate your enemy. God, like the psalmist is saying, I will hate those who you hate, God. And part of us were like, well, that kind of makes us feel uncomfortable, you know, because we don't want to hate people. We want to love people. And we realized our enemy is not people. We know that the enemy is the lie and the liar. And each of us, at some point in our life, we've been hurt, we've been wounded, and each one of us is this nagging thought of, do I have what it takes? Am I beautiful enough? Am I worth delighting in? And so we have this nagging question that has to be answered every single day. And then when something bad happens to us, or we're sinned against, or we make a mistake, that lie has opportunity to give fuel to this lie, and the brokenness can take us out for a long time. And we can try, we can't put ourselves together, so we need a rescuer, and that's Act 3 is the rescue. And I'm just going to read this passage from Ephesians. It says, "You were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. It's by grace you've been saved. And he raised us up with him, and he seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works that no one can boast." And so the rescuer comes, and he brings his sheep back into the fold, and he takes his wandering children and puts them back in his family. But he doesn't just stop there. Act 4 is restoration. You know, so he wants to make us all whole. In Isaiah 61, it says that he came to bind up the brokenhearted. It says he came to proclaim liberty to the captives, freedom to those in bondage, and to comfort those who mourn. And it says that he came to make all things new. And that's what we really got to experience this weekend, was a bunch of broken guys serving other broken guys and seeing healing take place through other people telling their stories. And so I think, you know, to stop there, I'd be missing, I think, the biggest piece of it, and that is, who are we in the story? And that's, we're children. So all weekend, I've had this kind of illustration in my head. I'm going to try not to cry too much, but we're criers. And it's just broken me. I've had like my ugly cry face on all weekend. I really don't want to show it to you. So it's this idea that we're children and understanding the Father's heart. And I'm going to cry. Okay, so here's the illustration. There's a king, and he's good, and he's kind, and he's just. And he's told that the royal treasury has been, thank you, the royal treasury has been stolen. And he says, find him, and give him 50 lashes. No, give him 100. And so that night they find the criminal, and they bring him forward, and he's on his throne. And they, maybe I just need to cry really hard and get it out. They bring the criminal forward, and it's his daughter. I just feel like these aren't my tears. These are the Father's tears. And he's just given me the Father's heart this weekend. And this is how he feels towards every one of us. And he doesn't see the crime. He sees his child there. And so he says, bind her up to that pole. And he walks down there, and he's got tears on his face. He takes off his robe, and he covers her like this. And he says, start the flogging. And he takes all, because he knew that if she took him, it would kill her. But he could take it. And he took it for us. That's our story. That's who we are in the story. The story doesn't go like it was a no name from outside the city and who got the floggings. No, that was the daughter of the son of the king, and he was compelled. He could not let that happen. And that's us in the story. And so this weekend we all found our place in the story. And we've been served. Just like that king served his daughter. And we've all been served. And now we're being sent out to serve you guys. And that's what this weekend's all about. And so we're going to have a few people just come up and share a little bit about what God did in their life. And then we'll go to the baptism. So if I asked you to share a little bit, would you make your way up right now? Maybe just wait over here and we'll just hand it off one at a time. And if you're going to get baptized, now might be a good time to go get dressed if you haven't. Just maybe come one at a time. Or all four. I don't know what's best. Just come up. I'm not a professional. All right, here you go.
All right, my name's Zach. This was a great weekend. Thank you, guys. Mad respect. Big hugs to all you guys. This weekend there was lots of hugs, lots of good beards that I'm jealous of, like Michael back there. Man, I don't know if that's Christ-like or what, but I need to have that. So, no, I'm super excited to be back. Like halfway through the retreat, I just couldn't wait to be home and make practical changes in my life with my wife. I just couldn't wait. The guys could tell you. Like I can't wait to get home and make this happen, because I'm all excited right now, but I'm just wanting to walk it out, and I just couldn't wait to make it happen. And this has been awesome seeing you guys talk about your families and your lives, and it really makes me want to make changes in my own home and be a better spiritual leader in my home. And so this is a big course correction for me that I think will impact myself and my family and our future. So I think this is huge for us, because it's going to change the atmosphere at home, and just the way you guys were reading to your kids, or how you'd interact with them, how you would talk about them, was just a big impact on me and a big visual for me as well. So that was huge, and I'm so excited to just go home and make those changes. It was nice to see some practical examples too of, all right, here's how we do this, and read it like this, and it really helped it bring clarity to that in my mind. I'm also motivated in my friend group, too, to kind of form deeper relationships and, connect better. And also, just lead in that way, too, push each other. So all around, it's been fantastic. Thank you, guys.
Hello, I'm Luke Nelson, and as a 30-year-old millennial, I've been to a lot of these retreats, and I've been to a few, and I've been in pastoral leadership in my life, and my son was involved in this, and so he said, "You're coming, right, Dad?" And I'm like, "I'm not sure." And been to a few of these, and I don't know. And he said, "Well, you'll pray about it, right?" And I go, "Yeah, I'll pray about it." I went to the retreat. The very first night, God captivated me. I was had an opportunity to be a part of an action that just hit me in my heart, right in the very first part of it. And so I was there. Now I'm in, Lord. And I saw more men crying than I've ever seen in my entire life. And, you know, this is just an example right here. He's our lead crier. And I cried a lot too, so I'm not pointing any fingers. But you know what? I'm like, wait a minute. There's no messages. There's nobody giving their opinions about anything. There's nobody trying to pump me up. Oh, I know why they call it a word retreat. It was all the word. What happened was people read the word, lifted up Jesus, and shared testimony. And that was it. There were a few fun things in between and walks in the woods and times of reflection and writing things down and all those things you might expect. But it was an impact of the word, and it's like the power of preaching. We don't understand. I've had so many times where I've preached and someone came up and said, well, this is what the Lord spoke to me. And I was, wait a minute, that was what I preached. And someone else said, well, this really spoke this to me. And well, hold it, that wasn't even in my notes. Well, how does that happen? God translates it into our lives, right? And so you take the word and then you take testimony, and all of a sudden you start thinking of Scripture. Revelations 12:11 says, and we overcame the enemy. I don't like to talk about the enemy. I don't like to give him any credit except for this, is that he's overcome. And we've overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And that's what we saw this weekend. The enemy was overcome in individual lives, in my life. See, it's a crying weekend. Thanks for the clean. Was overcome in my life. Some strongholds. Been a tough year. And God spoke to me so deeply and so dearly through these new brothers. And some of it, but I've been walking alone, and I don't have to walk alone anymore. I've got at least 50 guys right now that are part of that brotherhood, and it's going to continue to grow. God bless you.
Awesome. I get to follow that. Okay, so since my wedding, I've not got to say that I love my wife in front of like more than 200 people. This is awesome. Abby, I love you. Harry, I love you. Yeah, so for me, and I think for a lot of us, God establishes steps for us pretty clearly, but sometimes with our days, the monotony of it, the minutia of it, you kind of lose the sight of those steps. And so for my wife and I coming into this, it's been a season where I've been, you know, neglecting her, coming home from work just exhausted, and it's like sit in front of the TV with Netflix on, eat our food side by side and laugh and not really connecting, which just sucks. I hate it. And but coming into this weekend, started having a hard heart. Don't know why. Didn't want that. Wanted God to move, and was just feeling this hardness. And I think God needed to give me that first step of like showing me that my heart was hard. And so it's like the second night, I'm like, man, all these other guys are crying. I haven't cried yet. I'm like, what's going on? And so started praying. Felt some other guys praying for me. And then oh boy, did the I started sweating out of my eyes. Is what we call it. I'm not crying. Sweating out of my eyes. I'm not crying. So. Just started pouring out, and God was showing me how hard my heart was, and then showing me that my priorities were just completely jacked up, that I was so focused on work and my wife and my family that I was like, oh, I have work above my family, not realizing that God is nowhere like in that picture. And so needing to put God absolutely number one, it was like, okay, there's the first step. And then from there, it was just asking God to show me what's next, what do I need to do, because I don't want to leave here all just fired up and not having an idea of what to do. So God was just showing, like, me and my wife sitting at our dining table with candles lit, just holding hands and looking at each other and praying with each other, and showing that kind of week in and week out and day in and day out. It was just incredible. But before all that, the steps were funny because I have a work buddy who invited me to come to this. I'm like, no, I can't go. It's my wife's birthday. I can't go. I got to think of her. And just, like, instantly, no, can't go. And then Tyson, who's one of the leads, is actually redoing my wife and I's house. And I thought we were going for like kind of a design meeting. And like walk in, talking about flooring. He's like, so you come to the retreat? In front of my wife. And my wife's like, what retreat? And I'm like, oh boy. Babe, it's on your birthday. I couldn't, that's why I didn't want to do it. And she's like, oh, you're going. So just like how God works with that is just so incredible. So taking me from like thinking I don't need it, trying to put up, and then all these steps all the way through to even giving me like words and prayers to actually speak over my family is just incredible. So if I had one more thing, it doesn't go in time with the story at all, but one thing that's really hit me, and actually, Justin, you said this, so thank you. You talked about not focusing on what we don't want to be, but focusing on what God calls us to be. So often we can focus on that negative, and it just is so good and freeing to not look at that, but look at what God calls us to be. Our paychecks are not our report card. My title at work is not my report card. Jesus is our report card. And we need to be men and women that God calls us to be, that he qualifies us to be, not what the world disqualifies us to be, but what Jesus died for that qualifies us to be. So, awesome. Thanks, guys.
By the Kleenex. Hi, everyone. I'm Eric. So yeah, you're going to hear some similar themes here. Quick backstory on how I got invited. I don't go to Reach or Generational Hope, but and also real quick before I do that, can we give it up for the men of Generational Hope, please? I mean, I know a little bit about the Reach guys and I know how they work, but I didn't know the Generational Hope guys and great crew, and so I thank you all for lending your men to us and to me, huge blessing. So anyway, backstory, Tyson is a ringleader, got me involved, sent me a text a couple, 4 weeks or so ago, and me and another guy invited me to this men's retreat. Great, men's retreat, all right, first thing, you know, it's that dance, how do I get out of this, or how do I say no politely? But then I was thinking about it more, and Tyson, you know, good guy, godly guy. I know him. I would like to get him known better. But he's country. I'm a little city. You know, he's kind of emotional. I'm not at all. Anyway. Worked it out. Let it marinate. And God put on my heart that I should probably go. And checked with my wife. Again, she was similar to what we just heard. She was a little more encouraging than I wanted her to be. But we got the calendar clear, we got the support, and away we went. And it's been 61 hours, 35 minutes with 50 guys I didn't know. 49. But it's been an amazing blessing. So just what stirred up, Caleb asked me what stirred up. And a couple of weeks ago at church, the pastor read John 7, well, he quoted from John 7, 37. He said, on the last greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not yet been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. So I was super convicted, and I didn't really understand what was going on. And after a few weeks, or a couple of days of meditating on it, I realized that my water was not pure. It was not flowing pure. And what happened this weekend is I really started to unpack what that's from, and it's all the little voices of where I get my image and my meaning. It wasn't coming from Christ. It wasn't coming from God. It was coming from my world, my circumstances, words people said, work, storms at home, storms at the extended family, whatever. And it was telling me I wasn't worth it. And I didn't deserve that love. And I didn't deserve to have pure water. So what was happening, what was coming out of me was poison water. And I was seeing how it was impacting those around me. And so there's nothing like 50 guys through their actions, not through their words, through their actions for 61 hours telling you, you matter, man. You matter, and it's from God. It's not from them. It's from God. So I just want to thank everybody for that and for giving me an opportunity to try to replenish my water. I've tried to do this before. Try to purify my water, give it more of it out. So to God, to my family, to my brothers, I will try to do better. Thank you.
Man, amen. I tell you, I can never get tired of hearing what God's doing in the lives of people. Amen. It doesn't. I tell you, we could preach sermons, we could do all these things, but to hear how the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords changed a heart, sign me up 8 days a week, right? All day long, man, what God is doing. And it was powerful to see God working in the men's heart. So I'm going to have our worship team come up. We're just going to transition this morning. And I just want to encourage all of you that didn't get to go. I believe there's a tribal anointing, right? Just because you weren't there doesn't mean that God doesn't want to meet you in the areas of your life where you feel empty, where you feel dry, where you feel alone, because all of us matter to God's kingdom this morning. Okay, all of us matter to his kingdom because he cares about us. And so if you weren't there, that's all right. You can get the Cliff Note version, and you can get infused by the Spirit of God right now. And so I'm just going to ask everyone to stand up. We're just going to enter into a song of worship, and then we are going to do a couple baptisms. And here's how we do baptisms at Generational Hope. We are not watching a theater that you have to be silent. We are watching people that are going public with their faith, that are making the best decision of their life. I tell our church, and I got it wrong last time, but 2012-2013 NFC West Championship game, Richard Sherman in the end zone, the tip, Malcolm Smith, number 53, the catch, going to the Super Bowl, right? That's how Generational Hope does baptisms. Meaning, I didn't give them a golf clap. I didn't give them a head nod. I think I pulled my hamstring from jumping, from high-fiving. And so we got the opportunity to do that this morning. And so it's all right to get a little bit rowdy, right? No golf claps allowed, because we want to celebrate with some men that are going public with our faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? And so let's sing this song, and then we'll get this baptism stuff going.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. And holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. We live for you. And holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those.
Come on, we're going to have the guys that are going to get baptized. I think there's like two of them. And then Brad, one of the leaders from the weekend, is going to jump in the tank with them. So if you're getting baptized this morning, you can just come to the corner here. And man, we're going to celebrate, right? We're going to celebrate with this amazing step. So come on in here.
This is my buddy Will. I've known him for quite a while now. We work together. I invited him to the retreat, and I was expecting to hear a polite no, and he came back with a yes. And you know, I didn't show him, but inside I was like yes. So I was so excited he came. And then when I found out he was getting baptized last night, I cried. So I'm just so happy that I get to work with someone, a man of God, that can share my faith. And I'm so blessed to be here to renew his spirit and Lord and lift him up. So, Will, anything you want to say?
Well, I was telling a couple of the guys at the retreat. So I was raised in a church. I grew up in a church. But it's kind of like you're supposed to be the bride of Christ, and I picture this kind of like a wedding, and I've been dating Christ for a lot of years, and We got engaged about 3 years ago, started going to church. Yeah. We started going back to church again. I kind of fell away for a few years in my 20s, like a lot of us do. But now I'm ready to get married. All right.
Well, Will Chapin, do you declare Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
I do.
Awesome.
I baptize you in the name of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus. And this is my brother, David Visser. So I haven't known him quite as long, but I'm so excited to get to know him. Our wives are in a DNA group together at church, and she speaks highly of Angie and his family. So I'm so excited to have him here this weekend and get to know him better. And I'm so excited for this renewal in his life as well. So,
I was actually baptized as a baby. And I always just considered that, sorry to say, good enough. And me and Will were talking. We all shared a room. Me, Brad, and Will shared a room on the retreat. And we were just talking at like 1 a.m., way too late. And we were just talking about it, and that marriage metaphor came up again. And I just said, we were just talking like, what's wrong with renewing your vows to Christ? So that is my declaration, that I will start living my life not under my accordance, not under my power, but under God's power. And and I told the guys last night too, I've prayed more in the last 3 days than I have in probably the last 30 plus years. So it's awesome. It's true. It's true.
Awesome. All right. Do you, David Visser, declare Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
I do.
Awesome. I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Come on.
Come on. Let's sing. Come on. Let's sing. Is there anybody else? Anybody else? Come on, let's sing this chorus together.
And I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken, and I will build my life upon your love.
So we got, what is on? One last surprise for the boys. If I get the entire team to come up and stand to my right, make one line to the right. Can you stand right here, Chad? All right, so yeah, you can keep the music kind of playing lightly in the background. We're going to call each of your name, and you get one of these special crosses. I know you've been wanting one all weekend. And then you'll get a hug from every guy one last time, only for the weekend, not the last. And then once you get to the end, stay there, and you're going to join the hug train. All right, so Chris Hudson. Eric Demarin DeDrew. Rich Fry. Kent Walter. William Chapin. Brian Casey, Cassi. Brian Humiston. Eric Gregg.
Eric Gregg? Tim? Oh, you said Eric.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Eric and Tim Gregg, you can both come up. Dave Visser. Colton.
Love you, you're just Colton, man. We don't need to say your last name.
You got it.
No, I just hit this one out. Who was this?
It's Dave.
Joel Wildebauer. Don. What? Is Don? Don Hjort?
No, he's not here.
Not here. Edward. Luke Nelson. Frank Mocker. Chad Coles. John Mason. Donovan, come on. Bob Horn.
you, Bob.
Jeff, Bob, you can stay down here. We'll just come to you.
We'll come to you, brother. Right down here, we'll come to you.
Justin, Pastor Justin, give it up for Pastor Justin. Yancey,
Tucker Bordner.
Jordan McGinnis. Zach Humiston. Ryan Lorenz. Love you, brother. Steven Johnson. Andrew Ma.
Andrew. Yo, dude. Hey,
Doug Scott. Yeah. Daryl. La Piguera. Last but not least, Eric Olin.
We knew you wanted the most hugs. So
I did want the most hugs.
Glad you came, brother. I love you. You got Dave? Oh, you're back. Yeah. They make this thing smaller, bigger. Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I'll do that. Got this.
Okay. All right, can we just do one last round of applause?
Amen. I tell you, that's a fun service, right? It's fun to see what God's doing and his kingdom's advancing. Well, I'm just going to pray, and then we're just going to release. And Jen Hope, be here next week. We're going to have a great service with Pastor Craig and Moni Lotz. But God, thank you for everything you've done this weekend. God, thank you for changing hearts. Father, thank you for your advancing kingdom. And we love you, and we bless your name today. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Okay, you're released. God bless you. We'll see you next time.